This is the Heart of LAFC podcast, episode 62.
The City of Angels is black and gold. You're listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Jerry Jimenez and Joseph Zacher.
What is up? Welcome to the Heart of LAFC podcast. My name is Jerry Jimenez, your host, your friend, your insider into the Los Angeles Football Club. We are here for episode 62 of the Heart of LAFC. Mr. Joseph Zacher, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm on one today. We have a lot to cover. So we're going to be talking about the LAFC versus Vissel Kobe match. Also, recapping the LAFC versus Columbus Crew. Probably going to kind of just go really quickly through that one. And then talking about also the upcoming game against Atlanta United here this preseason. Again, just a friendly preseason game, but also very important because we're going to get to see a couple of things going on there. As well as we're going to touch on a couple of supporter items here. So let's just go ahead and jump right into it. What do you say?
Let's go for it.
Awesome. So recap of LAFC versus Vissel Kobe. My goodness, what a night. 18,000 in attendance. A week night preseason friendly in Los Angeles, might I add. Like, what in the world? 18,000.
We just keep rewriting the record books, right? I mean, nobody gets this for a preseason friendly. 18,000? It looked like a sellout. It was packed. It was crazy. It was noisy. The supporters were acting like they were in mid-season form. It was a beautiful night. A beautiful night for football.
Oh, yeah. I was absolutely impressed. Again, weeknight on a preseason friendly. It's the type of crowd, I guess, that you can expect at a LAFC match, and then throw on, you know, David Villa, Podolski, Iniesta. I mean, legends you don't usually get to see. And so it was definitely a great night. It looked like it was a lot of fun. What did you think, sir?
Dude, it was an absolute blast. The sound was good. Everybody was going crazy. Very engaged crowd. You gotta remember there was a rainstorm that morning. So there was a chance it could get, you know, washed out or knock the crowd down a bit, and it didn't. People showed up. They had to open up the upper deck, which originally they weren't even going to sell. So exceeding all expectations for this tune-up. Again, Vissel Kobe, how many people know about them outside of those three players? Not many, and they're new to being on that team. So this was a good showing for sure. And any of the match proved it. It was a great timeout for everybody.
Absolutely. And so just to recap it really fast, and then we'll jump into a little bit more of specifics. Man, Carlos Vela, 2 goals for the black and gold in the first half. Then we had defender Dejan Djakovic, of course, coming back here, adding a 3rd in the 72nd minute before the visitors would get one on the score sheet there 9 minutes later. And that was on behalf of Hatsusi on the 81st minute, of course. And then we had rookie Kevin Mendoza tallying the club's 4th goal there, 4 minutes from time. So giving LAFC a 4-1 win over the Vissel Kobe side. Definitely a good game to watch. Again, jumping a little bit into those goals. The first goal was in the 33rd minute by Vela, who was assisted by none other than Andre Orta. The second goal by Vela in the 44th minute. And Djakovic assisted by Vassell. So very nice to see, Pirelli Vassell there getting on the assist side of things. And then Mendoza, the last goal, unassisted. Very, very good stuff from these guys.
Yeah, good counter there. And, you know, for Vassell, it was a dead ball situation. So he's swinging one in there and taking care of business. Horta played a really good game in this. His setup to Vela, and then he had one that hit the crossbar right off the top there. Thought for sure that one was heading in. So he looked good on the night, much hungrier than we've seen him before. But really, the guy that stood out to me most was Peter Laviolette. He doesn't play like a rookie. He doesn't look like a rookie. He carries himself much differently. Very confident player. Isn't afraid to go at people full tilt. He had a beautiful play where he took a guy down to the touchline. That first move he has is great. So honestly, for him, I think he's played himself onto this squad. There's no doubt about it. I expect that signing to happen. Kevin Mendoza, he's hungry. He's proven that. I would not be surprised to see him make it as well. So those two really stood out. Shaft Brewer did what he always does. Latif came in as a sub for a limited amount of time, kind of playing a role he wasn't entirely used to, but he was really kind of the only veteran for a moment there. So good game overall. Like I said, Vassell to me, that was the player that went like, wow, okay. Him and several of our trialists, they're better than last year's group that came in, I got to say. This round of new players of trialists is much stronger than last year's batch of players. There was one player less within the trialists. Baju Husidic is gone. He was gone before his trial was over, before the match was even played. The story of the night, honestly, one was our performance against the J League second highest paid team. Two, the supporter culture and how much it was embraced, not only by our club, but the other club across the way.
Yeah. Man, the pictures tell quite a story of that. You know, it looked like everybody was just having a blast. And like you said, 32-52 looked like they were in mid-season form. Like, honestly, it just did not look like a preseason game at all. And along with that came all the supporters for Vissel Kobe, and then also the reaction of those players, just like so impressed.
Yeah. So, you know, there was no real, I'd say, edge to it. So it was very much a celebratory attitude coming from the North End. And so really, even though we were going insane and making all the noise we were doing, the players felt comfortable enough to actually join us post-match. I know there were scarves being exchanged. Again, much more of a party atmosphere than anything else, because we're all happy to finally be back again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Vissel Kobe was extremely impressed with us. Podolski mentioned it. Iniesta actually mentioned it. So did Villa. How impressed they were with what we've built, all the way around the stadium, of course, with the supporters. And it came off right. It came off good. We really put LA on the front foot from this match, and really, really looked like the proper ambassadors that we always try to be. So I got to say, it was something to be proud of for everybody involved in this match. Probably outside of the Dortmund match, this was up there, I got to say. Well done, everybody.
Nice. Hey, one thing that I did want to add, and you called it, man, last game, Wesley, Brazilian player for Vissel Kobe, definitely somebody that we needed to keep an eye on. That guy was getting scary there for a bit. He came in the 61st minute for Lucas Podolski, actually. But real quick, wanted to do the lineup that we had out there, because we got to see a lot of familiar faces the first half, but then also got to see a lot of the new faces, which is the whole point of these preseason games, right? And as we saw today with the Columbus Crew match. So, real quick, the lineup: Tyler Miller at goal, of course, Jordan Harvey, Eddie Segura, Andre Orta, Diego Rossi, Carlos Vela, Edward Atuesta, Lee Wynn, Tristan Blackman there in the back as well, killing it, by the way, Shaft Brewer and Adama Diomande. So familiar faces, and then we got to see in the second half, Amadou Dia actually came in, Lamar Batista, Javier Perez, Adrian Perez, which, by the way, right now they're having trouble with there being two Perez's. They have to make sure that they say Javi Perez or Adrian Perez, right? And then they have Ricky Lopez came in as well. Pedro Livasel came in there for Atuesta in the 46th, so second half. Alejandro Guido, who I'm also been very impressed these last couple games. Dejan Djakovic as well. Actually, and Adama Diomande came out a little bit early. Latif Blessing came in for him in the 28th. But then he was replaced. Blessing was replaced by Kevin Mendoza. So we got to see Kevin Mendoza as well as Connor O'Brien. And at goal, I believe you mentioned him, Philip Ejimadu, right, in the 86th.
Yeah, yeah, he came in. He acquitted himself very well. He didn't have a lot of time, of course, barely at the end there. But from what I saw, you know, he seemed very mobile in the back. An outsized type of player, very, very tall. He stands pretty high there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's not much you can get from a few minutes outside of him not making any mistakes, which is a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so really, there's only one guy in the lineup that didn't get playtime. That was Wade Hamilton. I guess it's, yeah, the only one. And then shout out to Shaft Brewer. He got a full 90 in this one.
That's right.
Yeah, he played the whole 90. So and he looked good.
Can you please say what position he was playing, by the way? Because this was one that at least...
What did he not play?
Well, we haven't really seen him play where he was, right? Who was he in the back?
Yeah, so he comes out as an outside back this time, overlapping all the time. I thought it looked good. I thought he fit the job pretty well. There's a few plays where he got caught, but you know that's expected at this stage of preseason. But honestly, I think they're figuring out with Shaft. He's a very mobile player. He's heady. He knows what's ahead of him.
Yeah.
And he's got to be of use, right? And you can't just have all these top a top heavy lineup. If you're gonna make this team, you got to be versatile. So. You're seeing players play out of their normal position. Even Latif was playing more central at one point because the guys have to be willing to make those moves, knowing how much higher power we have up front. So they have to be willing to do it if they're going to be getting play time.
Sure. Do you think that that's part of what the coach is doing right now, just kind of trying to figure out what his options are and then where maybe some players may be able to fill in the gaps, fill in those spots where we're missing
It's players. Utility. It's ultimately utility.
Yeah.
Also, he has to decide who gets to stay and who maybe gets signed and sent on trial for or sent on loan to possibly Phoenix. You know, I don't think Shaft wants to go back there. He wants to stay. And so every one of these guys, one, you're trying to get a job. Two, you're trying to stay. And I think that's why we're seeing more of Tristan Blackman as well. Has he made the progress? Has he been seasoned a bit playing down in Phoenix?
Yeah.
Where is he at? And honestly, I thought he played good. I was happy with his work.
Yeah. No, he played a great match. And so this is something that we haven't done yet this year. This is going to be the first time. I thought it would be kind of cool to do it for a preseason friendly because honestly, it's the stats. The ones that don't matter. Let's do this. Full-time stats for LAFC mm-hmm. versus Vissel Kobe. We had LAFC 17 shots to Vissel Kobe's 9. 10 of those shots on goal. 3 for VK. We had 2 saves. They had 7. Tells you a little bit of mm-hmm. how much we were attacking there. Corner kicks, though. This is interesting. We had 1 corner kick. They had 6. They had 3 offsides. We had none. This is actually very impressive from our end, especially with how...
With Adama Diomande playing high the way he does. Pretty good.
So 4 fouls for us, 11 on Vissel Kobe. They had 2 yellows, 1 yellow for us, no reds for a final score, 4-1. To the good guys. Again, in this one, I think everybody was a good guy. It was just a good time, a great match with some legends on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And man, Carlos Vela. Wow.
Yeah. He looks ready, doesn't he? There's no question. He's in it. At the first game against Toronto, now this one, he's ready to go. His focus is pure. You know, the distractions are gone from the off-season, silly season, let's be honest. So he can focus, and he is really taking a leadership role. And you can see his interaction after the game, being a part of the Sha-La-Las, jumping up into the capo stand, things he doesn't normally do. He's finally, we see the embrace that we've been looking for from him. with the club. Mm-hmm. And he's even said it himself. He wants to play out his career here. And it shows. There's a different comfort level that he's already showing.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and recap today's game. LAFC versus Columbus Crew. We fell 4-2, but we'll talk about it when we come back. Welcome back, everybody. So let's go ahead and jump into LAFC versus Columbus Crew, the game right after the Vissel Kobe game. 4-1 against Vissel Kobe, 4-2 on the negative side against Columbus Crew. Definitely not a good-looking number, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit about this. So this was on a Monday afternoon. It was close to public. Only media could get in there. So we did manage to get a score sheet. And then if you guys were following, there's a couple of people that were streaming it. I won't throw anybody under the bus. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. You know who you are. I love you guys. Of course, LAFC would get on the score sheet first with an own goal by Crew defender Harrison Afol in the 7th minute. So that was pretty quick, up 1-0. And then just over half an hour later, the visitors would tie things up through Patrick Mullins. Darn you, Patrick Mullins. Moments after the restart, LAFC would once again take the lead. Adrian Perez, the trialist himself, feeding a pass over to Lee Wynn. And, of course, shot goal. Midfielder finished calmly to the bottom right corner. That was about the 47th minute. Crew, of course, would immediately come back, tie the game a minute later. J.J. Williams poking the ball past Ejimadu. Again, our goalie in this situation, Philip Ejimadu, is still looking pretty good, actually, despite the scoreline. So just want to throw that out there. Williams would score his second of the game. Damn you, JJ. 76th minute before Justin Miram made it 4. Justin Miram, just basically in the 90th minute, was like, all right, let's finish this off. It was already 3-2. He would just make it 4-2. Thoughts, Joseph?
Again, focus on the individual performances more than anything else. Guys playing out of position. First half was typical, right? Typical LAFC play. Lineup even looked typical. Second half, big changes. People playing out of position. Apparently, Blessing was playing in the back. Harvey was a center back with our backup keeper. So, yeah, trying things out, seeing where people fit. Again, experimenting. So, you know, you expect weird things to happen. I think this is a pretty weird result for us. Got to remember, Columbus Crew played Vissel Kobe to a 0-0 draw earlier last week before our match. They had their lineup. You know, they had their best players out there. We obviously were a little bit more, I think, experimental with it. I mean, we can look at the lineups now to see that, but
yeah,
we're taking our chances, letting the kids play as they should and earn their spots. Pretty straightforward with that. So, again, I don't worry too much about the result. I worry more about players getting time and those who are featuring playing good enough to make the team.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that real quick, the lineup. First half lineups for LAFC was Tyler Miller. We got to see Muhammad El Munir, so that was interesting. Jordan Harvey, Eddie Segura, Shaf Brewer Jr., Eduard Atuesta, Alejandro Guido, Andre Orta, Latif Blessing, Christian Ramirez, and none other than Mr. Carlos Vela. In the second half, things changed up quite a bit with goal, Philip Ejimadu. Then we had Dejan Djakovic come in, Jordan Harvey, Eddie Segura, Marc-Anthony Kay back. The Mac is back. Lee Wynn, Peter Lee Vassell, Javi Perez, Latif Blessing still staying in there, Adrian Perez, and Christian Ramirez. Now we had substitutions eventually. We had Kevin Mendoza come in for Jordan Harvey in the 65th. Connor O'Brien come in for Mac in the 74th. And Adama Diomande coming in for Christian Ramirez in the 61st. So one thing that was also noticeable, did this happen last year? Was John Kempen already part of Columbus Crew? Or is he trialing right now?
I think he's a trialist.
Okay. That's what I thought. Then that name seemed familiar, and then I realized where it was from, and it was like E. if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. I'm not going to talk about it. But definitely a good showing from Columbus Crew. Again, 0-0 to Vissel Kobe, right, Joe?
Yeah, yeah, 0-0. And they got pushed all game by Kobe. Yeah, Kobe should have won the game about 2-0.
So I don't think that we were at full force this match. I think it was, again, more of a trialist thing, just like you mentioned. And I can see it just from looking at the lineup for Columbus Crew. You know, Higuaín stayed the majority of the game. You had, who else was in there? Let me see.
Interesting. Ooh, Rico Jimenez. I see Rico Clark. Is that really Ricardo, the same Ricardo Clark playing for Columbus?
I guess so. I see him there in the first half.
Yep. Yeah, he played in the first half. Interesting. Interesting.
So,
yeah. They had an interesting lineup as well and did a lot of changes in the second half. So, both were experimental in the second half. You know, but the stats do tell a different story. Yes, we lost 4-2, but we outshot them.
Yep.
It looked like a pretty even setup, even though the scoreline was the way it was.
You should probably say it was we outshot them on goal. So, let's jump into it. Again, in one episode, the stats that don't matter. Here we go. Full-time stats. LAFC, 5 corners to 3 for Columbus Crew. LAFC, 5 saves to 3 of Columbus Crew. 13 shots, LAFC, 14 to Columbus. Shots on goal. This is where it got interesting. 12 shots on goal for LAFC out of the 13. 8 out of the 14 for the Crew. Offsides. Once again, LAFC being impressive. Weird. 0 offsides. 5 for a Columbus Crew there. Man, I don't know why I'm so impressed by that.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the next stats is weird too. Columbus fouled us 14 times and only fouled them 7.
Yeah.
It suggests speed on our side, that we can outpace people.
Yeah, well, you know, the entire last season we were getting knocked up, man, just because of how fast we are. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't catch up. They're just foul. I have to foul them or we're going to move forward. So, it doesn't surprise me too much, but 14-7 on that one. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, interesting stat. And again, 13 shots to 14 shots, that's wide open. They're just having a shootout. Second half kind of shows that too. It was 8-7 on shots. So you saw where it all was coming from. First half, 2 shots on goal to 1 shot on goal. Much more tidy, you could say, in the back. So don't take too much from it. Just see who's in the lineup, who's playing. Highlight to me is the fact that Mark Anthony Kay is actually playing in a game with full contact. So yes, I'm impressed by that. He put in some good limited minutes, but hey, you know, that's the first step. I did run into him at the Kobe match, and we talked a little bit about the injury and all that, and he's feeling really good. He's ready. He's hungry.
Good.
I think we should expect a big year from him for sure.
I expect big things from him regardless, man. He is such a great player. Definitely one of those players that I look forward to watching on the field. And interesting stat, actually, as you were mentioning, because I don't want to skip over it. Shots on goal in the second half, 6-6, 7-8 shots. That's all in the second half. What does that tell you? People have something to prove. These guys are hungry. They're out there trying to fight for their jobs right now, basically trying to get a job if they're not already trying to keep a job. So it's really interesting to see that. Very, very cool. I think on both ends, you can see there for Columbus Crew also, they had quite a few substitutions the second half. And so a bunch of trialists right now as well for the COB side. Very, very cool. Again, don't be discouraged by the 2-4. That scoreline really doesn't reflect what's important here, and that is that some of these guys are finally getting an opportunity to play, to show what they have, to show off for the coach, and then also the Mac is back, which is what the Mac really is back. Matters.
Yep. Yep. Very that to me, that's the big story, is he's back in the lineup. And we got to see El Munir play. So it's good. Good stuff. Look, guys, I've seen teams sweep preseason and then basically get destroyed in the regular season.
Yeah.
It doesn't, yeah, results don't matter. It really is on the players and how they're doing. And, yeah, I can see the defense is a little scary there in the second half. But, you know, when you're playing Blessing and you got Harvey at center back, you know, with a rookie goalkeeper, you can't expect a whole lot. They got to learn from each other.
Yeah.
I did hear that Eddie Segura did have a great game from multiple sources. And he did play the full 90.
Okay.
So good news there. And, you know, he was pretty impressive in the Kobe game as well. So Segura is really making a name for himself already. So it looks obvious we've made a really good move here getting him.
Yeah. No, that's good. And it's actually, I mean, I was hoping, remember, we kind of talked about it. I think one of our listeners asked, is Eddie Segura the answer for the back? And we both responded with, well, we hope he's not the only answer, but it sounds like he's doing his part, which is what's most important at this point.
He's currently playing the part. Yeah. So good for him. I hope he keeps it up. Pray he keeps it up. It'll make life a lot easier for us. And, of course, Tristan Blackman doing what he's doing is really good for us, too. He provides us with a lot of depth. If he can hang and stay at this level, we're in a good spot, guys.
Yeah, it's Tristan Blackman stepping it up, man. I keep hearing good things about him. So, again, another one of those players that I look forward to watching, not just his growth, but also I do have huge expectations for him. So we'll see how he does. For the rest of the week, we have Tuesday. They have an off day. So taking a little break there. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, however, they will be at the Performance Center training starting at 11:30. And then no on-field training on Saturday because they prepare for Sunday's game against Atlanta United. Doors opening there to the media only. It is a closed match, unfortunately. Some media will be there. Mm-hmm. I believe somebody from Heart of LAFC will be there. And we'll be covering that match for us. Of course, I'm talking about none other than Mr. Benjamin Virgin. I should say Virgin. Sorry. Benjamin Virgin. I know you're listening. Shout out, man. If you guys haven't checked out his writing, heartofLAFC.com, he is killing it right now.
Yes, he is.
Along with,
no doubt.
We're hoping Mr. Andrew Dorn is going to also be joining us soon there on the website. If you haven't seen it, it's been updated. We're going to be doing a lot more on that website, heartofLAFC.com. Go check it out. But again, let's take a break because Sunday, the 10th of February, kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m., Atlanta United, the returning champs versus LAFC. Lots going on in their camp. When we come back, we will talk all about it. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back. LAFC is going to have to face the returning champs, Atlanta United. And that is coming up very, very soon here on Sunday the 10th. Like I said, kickoff is scheduled to be at 1 p.m. There's a lot to talk about this Atlanta team. They have made a huge transformation within their roster, I can say, but not really. They're still like monsters. They're still scary. So yeah. Let's kind of talk about that first. I really want to start with the new coach, Frank de Boer. What do you know about that guy, Joseph?
Enough to know that I'd be scared of him. The guy goes, he wins, he changes systems. They aren't messing around with this signing. There's no doubt. And he's on a multi-year, so he's expected to develop the club even further, just outside of what he's done. As a player, as a manager, yeah, they hit another home run. You know, if you're going to follow up Tata, this is a good choice. my God. Yeah, I'm just looking like, yeah, 15 combined seasons. Ajax, Barcelona.
Barcelona, four consecutive Eredivisie titles.
Yeah, who does that, right? Nobody. He's the first to do that. This guy is high level as you can get for a coach. And he's good at working with different levels of players, different ages of players in terms of youth development. So for them, they've really got an architect, and they have signed him to a multi-year deal, so they should be able to hold on to him for a while. Again, Atlanta is looking the part. After winning a championship, they look just as good as they were last year, just with a couple different pieces in place.
Yeah. It definitely scary. And again, for those of you that don't know and are like, wait, what do you mean Tata Martino is gone and you've been living under a rock? He's actually coaching the Mexican national team now. Very interesting to see that. But everybody saw it coming. And that was not a secret for a long, long time. People had been talking about that. And of course, it happened. You know what else people had been talking about and finally happened? Almiron is gone. Miguel Almiron being transferred to Newcastle United there. MLS transfer record, I believe, was a bit over 20 million. 24 million, I believe, is what the fee was.
Yep. A long time coming. They've been trying for a while to make this deal happen. Newcastle's hungry for this one. So they're willing to spend a ton to get Almiron. They really think he's going to make an impact over there, which I think he will. But that, you know, in most cases you say, oh man, we lost Almiron. This is unbelievable. But honestly, that's not holding them back. This actually gives them more spending availability. They make a lot of money out of this. This is the new version of MLS. Develop and sell. This is what builds up a profile of a league. Not take it away. This is a good thing. And they're able to use that money to just keep moving again, and they end up signing another player.
You know, I really like this move because what it's doing, it's actually setting the bar that much higher for teams like LAFC and other teams that have been around for a while. Now, we have to step it up because Atlanta is just destroying things right now. And so, again, you were saying, you know, Miguel Almiron is gone, but who did they get? Who did they acquire to come over here as an attacking midfielder at 25 years of age? Like, seriously?
Man, you'd expect this signing to go to Europe right away, not to MLS. They got
2018 yeah. South American Footballer of the Year.
Like, insane. Gonzalo Piti Martinez. Like, really? 25 years old, attacking midfielder? He's got a higher cred than Almiron does coming in. Like, he's already showing it. And
jeez,
it's a transfer deal. It's not even like a loan, man. Like, a killer move for them. Killer move. He's instantly the star of the team outside of Joseph Martinez. But Martinez doesn't have to worry about service because this guy's going to provide it. There's no question that he's going to do it. So congrats to them on making this move. The rest of us need to pay heed, because if this is the level of signings coming into the league, we're in a good place here. I just hope we become a part of this show and start bringing guys in at the same level.
Yeah. This is for sure going to be a test for our guys. I mean, here's the thing. They just had, and by they, I mean Atlanta, they just had their first preseason match where they faced the Seattle Sounders, you know, our nemesis. We have a little bit of history with those guys, and we all know that they haven't been doing all that great. Now, again, taking into consideration that they didn't actually play a proper game, it was kind of split up, right, into how many sessions?
Yeah, it was four 30-minute sessions.
So definitely not a standard game. A lot of people coming in and out. Now, that being said, still, this scoreline is ridiculous. Joseph, give it to them.
Atlanta United defeated the Sounders 7-1.
7-1.
playing those four periods. Seattle didn't get on the board until the third period. Jeez. On a player I don't even know, Ray Serrano. Okay, and it was a deflected goal off of one of his own teammates' back. He got it, just slotted it in. It was pretty lucky. It was pretty much a whitewashing from ATL. They went all over these guys. They didn't let them out. Yes, Seattle did experimental lineups for all four periods, but Atlanta, they had plenty of subs. They just seem to be more dialed in as if they know what their lineup's already going to be. Now they're just adding to it. That is how they set up for this game. They didn't go completely experimental like Seattle. They know what they want. They know what they need. They don't have to add in many more parts. So they're just rounding out their lineup already. They already look ready to go, and the score showed it.
Yeah. So goals by Joseph Martinez, two of them. Gonzalo Martinez also got on the scoreboard, believe it or not. Deon Pereira had two goals. Yeah. And Romario Williams had two goals. So a few people there with a pair of goals on that match. Just some names that I say, it doesn't matter, obviously, but just some names to keep in mind when we face these guys. Now, something that was very interesting, it looks like Breck Shea has moved himself over to the returning champs.
He escaped Vancouver.
What?
Breck Shea. I don't know how he fits into this lineup. He got a yellow card in the setup, but he's there. He's there.
Oh, I just saw that.
Yeah, see, I figure he's going to be more of a reserve this year anyway. But it's a nice reserve to have, as strange as Breck Shea can be. He does have something to bring into the lineup, especially coming off the bench. So again, they've just bolstered the lineup that much more.
Gosh, another thing that I had noticed, and something that I had been looking forward to, was Jordan Morris. He's back. With the Sounders. So
yeah, limited play time, but he is back. And at first we didn't even notice he was in the lineup, but
yeah,
he went in minute 46 and came back out in minute 72. So he's in the group, second grouping for Seattle. That's very much limited minutes. So you're wondering if they're just rehabbing him back. Mm-hmm. Looks like a rehab type of assignment. So, welcome back to the league, Jordan Morris. Hopefully you're healthy. We look forward to taking you on later this year.
Yeah, and then going back to Atlanta United, that's going to be an interesting game. Please go ahead and follow us on Twitter for all your updates. We will do our best to make sure that we do some play-by-play, hopefully. We'll see how that goes. But Ben might help us out with that a little bit. Yeah, man.
Hey, so, Ben.
With that being said, I do want to talk really quickly about something that came up this week. LAFC is now selling their partial ticket plans and their single match tickets, and something interesting came up that mm-hmm. they will be selling those as of Monday the 4th, which is today as of recording, 10 in the morning they started selling these partial ticket plans via Ticketmaster. So bye bye Stub. I was gonna say Stub. Oops. Ooh. SeatGeek. Bye-bye, SeatGeek.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience with SeatGeek, they haven't been really good with resale. They haven't done well to protect the product. There's a lot of things that they fell short on, and it's hard to get them working properly. I know not only our team has had struggles, but I remember Seattle Sounders, they weren't ready for tickets until like 3 days before their first match with those guys. So mm-hmm. definitely a lot of bumps in the road in the first year with SeatGeek. And so our team went back to pretty much the granddaddies of them all for ticket distribution, Ticketmaster. Am I the biggest fan of Ticketmaster? No. Right. Yeah. We all get killed on fees whenever they're selling tickets. But I think our club just basically went, well, you know what? We need it to work. That's step one. Make it work. And so that's why Ticketmaster is brought in. They needed some reliability.
Yeah, and I can agree with that. So, I mean, let's move on, try them out. let me go ahead and read here their press release. So, partial ticket plan allows fans to choose between 5 of 10 selected matches, and along with the season ticket membership, is the only way to guarantee a seat for LAFC's home opener versus Sporting Kansas City on March 3rd, or for the matchup against the Galaxy on August 25th, once single game tickets are sold out. So a limited amount of single match tickets are available to the general public on Thursday, February 7th at 1 p.m. So mark it on your calendars there. Again, via Ticketmaster, LAFC full season memberships are still available and interested fans can place a deposit. Season memberships do start as low as $442 for all 17 home matches and include member benefits such as exclusive access to LAFC events, priority pricing, and pre-sale ticketing. Members only pre-sale for 2019 single match tickets begin Wednesday the 6th. Last season, LAFC sold out all 17 games, averaging 22,042 fans at Bank of California. So make sure that you get your tickets now. That is just something that I want to throw out there because we tend to wait to the last minute, you know, as fans.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. Go get some tickets. All right.
Yeah. And you got to add in for the full season memberships. If you don't have a full season membership, you're not going to get into the Vancouver match, the last preseason match as well.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. Yep. So get it taken care of, guys. Lock it in. I've been hearing some good things, some bad things, some mixed reviews so far, but yeah, it's day one. I'll be making my attempt to use this thing tonight after the show. And I can come back with you guys later if there's any gripes that I have, but from what I'm hearing, you'll get your whole allotment of tickets. You're a season ticket holder basically there. Once you're signed in and ready to go and it's all set up.
Sweet.
I'm also hearing weird stuff about how you have the ability to pay the full season ticket rather than just go by payments. That's been milling around, but there's some weird stuff with that. So I'm going to stick to the payment plan. It's comfortable enough for me, especially with, you know, having 4 tickets. Yeah, it's much easier for me to just to do it that way. Yeah. But to each their own. I know last year I pretty much paid it all ahead of time. So one of the few that did. But this year I'll stick with the payments.
All right. So there you go, guys. Any questions, don't ask us. We don't know. Call LAFC. Ask them. They'll be more than happy to help you out with any of your questions when it comes to memberships, season memberships, some of the partial ticket plans, and then single matches as well coming up pretty soon. So, Joseph, I think this next topic is all you, buddy.
No pressure. Here we go. We've been waiting for this. The first ever annual general meeting for the 3252 will be taking place this Sunday, February 10th from 1 to 5 p.m. What are we going to do there? Basically, there's going to be a Q&A, season in review, and most importantly of all, director elections. Yes, we are electing our directors for the next 2-year term. They are now 2 years. And so basically, if you're a registered 3252 member in good standing who's paid their dues for the 2018 season, you're eligible to vote in this election. And we definitely want you to come out. All registered members will be sent an email blast on Tuesday morning, which would be tomorrow, if you're getting this late at night tonight. But Tuesday morning, the email blast will go out with details and where it's going to be at, because we will not be at the bank. We're going to be at another site. Because obviously they're doing something at the bank that day, you know, playing Atlanta. So we're going to be off site doing our celebration, because this really is our year end, year beginning celebration. As the directors will be, new directors will be taking charge as of the end of the night. On my end, I'll tell you, as president of the 3252, this will be my swan song as president. I'll be moving on from the position, and there's a bunch of amazing candidates that are moving into the director spots. Our vice president, Richard Escudia, is also stepping down as well, and there's several new faces that you're going to see vying for the positions. The email blast, there's probably going to be a second one as well with the candidate information, and we'll have a lot of info. And you'll get the chance to meet them at the annual general meeting too. So don't miss out on this. If you're a supporter of the 3252 and registered with us, we want to see you there. We want to see you celebrate. There will be some other stuff around. I'm going to keep it a little vague for the sake of the email blast, but Chef Allen will be providing tacos to those registered members who come out to vote. And there's going to be also raffles available. I can't tell you too much because there's some really cool ones. But don't miss out. Again, it's a celebration as well as an election, and it's kind of cool to see an election actually be functional, and you'll figure it out within 2 hours. So hey, good deal there. We'll know everything going forward, and we'll be ready for the new year.
Awesome. Yeah, if you can make it and you are a registered member of the 3252, this is one of your things that you get to do as a member. This is one
essential.
Of your it's actually very essential, and you do need to make do your part. Make the time, make sure you head out there, look at your email probably right now, actually as you're listening to this, it might actually already be there, Tuesday morning. So if you're listening on a Tuesday morning, you might want to check your email. So all the details will be there for you guys. Definitely excited to see who gets elected. And again, also cue the tiny violins for Joseph, who's going to be.
I'm proudly moving on, guys.
Moving on.
No, I am completely confident in everybody moving into the positions for the new year. We have some great people running for office. On my end, I am proud to have been a part of the beginning, the initial liftoff of the 3252. For me, I've put in nearly 2 years, so it's pretty much the same as a full term in office. I mean, we honestly only had like 1 year terms before anyways. I put in a little over 18 months of the position, and a year before that also helping to build. And again, it's been a collaboration. I've been proud to be a part of it. I still will be a part of it, just not as president. And now, on to the next group, on to some more new energy. Now I'm along for the ride with all of you guys, building it to even further. And you could see from the Kobe match, this thing's just going to get bigger.
It's all good, man. You're going to be helping me build this thing right here, the heart of LAFC.
Oh, yes.
So that's a good thing for me. I'm a little selfish on this one, but it's been a pleasure having you this entire time. And I don't think that the podcast would have gotten to the point that it is at now without your help. So I'm excited to be doing more things with you coming up, but also excited, like you said, to see all these new faces joining 3252, as well as the new leadership, I think is going to be awesome. Those will not be new faces. Those will be faces that you've seen. All of these people, amazing human beings. So regardless of the options, regardless of the choices that you make, I think 3252 is going to be in very good hands. Am I right or am I right?
You are absolutely correct.
Awesome.
A lot of the officer positions actually went unopposed. I think it's because those directors have been doing such a great job. The ones that are being opposed are kind of ones that have gone vacant in many cases, most cases. And others where it's just a matter of growth and people want to volunteer. And so, the 3252 ISU has been extremely careful in vetting, the candidates, to make sure that we're all in the right place here. And again, we're all serving the greater purpose of the nonprofit and making sure that on game day, we're the most fully prepared supporter group in the league.
Nice. Awesome. Yep. So we will keep you guys updated. Make sure you check your emails. That's going to do it for us on this episode, I think. Unless you have something to add, Joe, what do you think?
I think I'm completely satisfied. I think it's, again, we finally get the boys playing again. We're moving forward, looking forward. I'm loving it. Happy to be back. Episode 2. Boom. We're in.
That's right. Awesome. So that is the second episode of the year. Is it? Third one?
Yes, it is.
No,
second
dude,
one.
This is the third one, man.
No.
We did episode 60. And then this is 62.
Really?
Yeah, no, we're losing track. See what happens when you're gone for a long time.
Losing track. See, there it is.
Here.
Well, I don't know. This one feels like the most complete episode we've ever done. I'll be honest.
It feels like we're finally back. Is that what it is?
This one feels right. Yeah, for sure.
this is the third episode for sure. I just double checked. I was like, what? You made me doubt myself. Anyways, we're back, guys. Another one in the books. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this one. If you did, please give us a review, a rating. If it's not a good review, tell us why so we can make it better. That's why we're here. This is your show. This is not my show or Joseph's show. This is your show. This is everybody's show. So we want to know what you guys think. Please send us comments, suggestions, reactions, whatever, to any of our social media. You can email us as well on heartofLAFC@gmail.com. And if you're the guy that gave us a 1 rating on iTunes, I hate you. And also, please tell me what happened and why.
You gave us a 1. He's probably lost in Carson.
That's what I was thinking. It was probably some haters.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Haters.
Hey, doesn't really matter. If you guys listen and enjoy the show, please give us a rating and review. Again, it helps us a lot. And shout out to all the new podcasts that have come out for LAFC. Excited to see the community growing and truly excited to see what you guys are going to do with it. There's quite a few. Maybe we'll do a little recap of some of the podcasts and give them a shout out next time.
For sure. We are out
of time this round ago. Go around. What the hell? Yeah, I'm done. Done,
dang,
Joseph.
Man. Started so well.
I know. I'm going to edit that.
Yeah. No, you're not. No, you're not. I will say this. You might see me make a cameo elsewhere, but I'm not going to make much details. You'll just hear it.
All right. There we go. Nice.
Boom.
Bam. All right. Mic drop. You have been listening to the Heart of LAFC podcast. For Mr. Joseph Sacker, my name is Jerry Jimenez. Stay golden.
Thank you for listening to the Heart of LAFC. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. Shoulder to shoulder, the black and gold is taking over.